I am Planta on the Line. This is the commentary.ca. As we continue looking at the provincial election and referendum campaign here in British Columbia, we talk to Christopher Bennett. He is a former leader of the BC Green Party. He was succeeded by Jane Stirk and has since become a member of the BC Liberal Party. We'll discuss his move and get his thoughts on the campaign thus far. Christopher Bennett is a public relations and media director. He also writes political speeches. His website is the C. Bennett blog. That's all one word, .blogspot.com. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program, Christopher Bennett. Good morning, Mr. Bennett.
Joe, how are you? Thanks very much for having me. It's good to hear from you again.
Thanks for joining us. The leaders' debate is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be watching that, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I've got my seat here in the living room. Kate and I are looking forward to it. We got our popcorn ready.
What is it that you're looking for in particular? I mean, you write speeches. You're used to making presentations to the public. What do the leaders have to do tonight?
I think, well, there's a couple things that probably have to take place, and of course, knowing that I'm a new Liberal, what I'll try to do is remove myself from that as much as I can and try to give you my perspective through a public relations or speechwriter's lens. I think what you've got to do is three different things if you're the leaders. In terms of the Green Party, Jane Stirk, I mean, each of them, let me back up, all have to play against the expectations, and they've got to go against type. And in this case, for Jane Stirk with the Green Party, the expectation is that she is a less personable or a less lively speaker. Certainly, when you put her beside a former leader like Adrian Carr, whose, you know, orative skills were formidable, and this was someone who was very comfortable on in front of the podium with a crowd, you definitely would see that. So, I think you've got to, if you're Jane, you've got to really come out strong.
And then what does Carol James have to do, for example?
Carol has got to find her voice. Carol has got to find the leadership ability to shine through, to really convince people that there's a confidence there, that there is someone who with some certainty, with some strength. She has always been a little bit of a, I'm not sure what the word would be, a hesitant speaker. You don't find in her voice someone there that is that instills the confidence I think that we often get with someone like Gordon Campbell, who is an excellent speaker, someone who's very confident, who vice versa, he's got to go in there, and I think he's really got to show British Columbians some humility. I think he's got to go into this speech, and he's got to show that there's room for pause and reflection, and that there's someone here that is not overconfident. You know, the media is certainly latching onto this idea that there's an arrogance or that there's an assumption that he's the default winner of this election, and it's very close. And I think he's got to really convince British Columbians he's not taking anything for granted, that he is not an arrogant premier that's, you know, heading towards the twilight of his premiership and looking to perhaps federal politics later and setting himself up for that he's very much committed to British Columbia. He's learned from his mistakes, and more importantly, he's proud of the accomplishments they've made moving forward.
The Federal Liberal Convention was in town this weekend. Were you a part of that at all?
I was in the background. I was kind of keeping an eye on things, but I've been doing my very best to sort of stay out of the picture for the last little while. Certainly a lot of the work I've been doing on the corporate and the private side has me working across a variety of different partisan lines. So I'm more interested in how these things turn out as opposed to becoming intimately involved in the policy decisions or the candidates who are running and working to build their teams instead.
One of the things that we learned in this campaign, in the first half of the campaign at least, there was a lot of talk about how the NDP seemed to have let the environment run away from them as an issue. But the one thing I learned was that the environment movement, if we can call it that, is quite nuanced, that it's not a left-right thing. It transcends that, and you're an example of that.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that I would even be so bold as to say I don't think it's a movement anymore. I think it's become very much a part of the mainstream vernacular. I think it is officially a permanent platform issue. I think that, you know, what we saw 3 or 4 years ago, which was a re-emergence of environmentalist thinking, and the movement, which had never really died, but it certainly resurfaced when we were sort of, if we were to use Al Gore as sort of a chapter marker of a resurrection of that movement, I think that it has moved itself into the mainstream vernacular, that by and large, most people are very bought into climate change. They're very concerned about global warming, and it has a permanent place on any party's election platform agenda. So I think the movement portion of it, where we have to convince people to care, is gone. The question now becomes of all of the particulars of that platform issue, which parties have done a really good job of owning that issue, and which ones have the smartest plan moving forward that's actually going to make some impact on this and hopefully save us from the what looks to be like a very probable disaster in the next 50 years if we don't make some very serious changes.
We had you on last when you were a Green leader, and since then you've joined the BC Liberals. Why did you leave the Greens?
Well, I think there was a lot of different things that were taking place, Joe. I think within that party, you know, there is such a broad spectrum of Greens. Certainly, I had always considered myself, I guess, more of a neo-Green, if you will. I had not established deep roots in the party. You know, I'm not afraid to say I probably came late to the party in terms of my attention and my focus on environmental issues. I was very, I became very aware of them having worked and been Elizabeth May's national campaign communications director and subsequently my federal work about the issues, and I became very educated, and I met some really smart environmental thinkers, and they really opened my eyes to some things, and I became really passionate about it. But within that passion and that commitment to those ideas and trying to make the change, the challenge was, if we don't get seats in the legislature, if we don't elect them federally or provincially, at the end of the day, we are a very vocal activist group, and change happens within the legislature, within Parliament, and we've got to shape the laws that really will impact environmental policy in this country and in this province. And I didn't believe that the Green Party was as committed to electoral success as I was, and I didn't believe that they were prepared to make the necessary compromises or changes in order to get those seats or to give ourselves a very competitive fighting chance to do so. And ultimately, my relationship with the Liberal Party and the governing party, with the Premier, with the Environment Minister's office, with all of them within the party was very positive, and I believed I could influence and be a part of more positive green change from the governing party side with the Liberals than I probably would have been able to with the BC Green Party.
Now, are you one of these Liberals who come out now and say that it'll be a disaster for the environment if the NDP is elected on the 12th?
I've always believed that it would be a disaster for the environment if the NDP is elected. I don't believe that they are truly understanding of the issues. I believe that around election time, I think they grab onto the right ideas and they've got their 30-second sound bites around it, but you know, really, if we were to make a very mile marker stand on one issue, it's carbon tax. It's the right thing to do. It's not always pretty. It's got to get done. It's one way, it's one first step towards further progressive change on this front, on the carbon front, and the NDP's got to get on side with it, and I think you're either for it or you're against it, and anyone against it right now is taking us two steps backwards as opposed to even one step forward.
Is it your sense that British Columbians have seemed to accept the carbon tax?
I think that they have. I think that it's not going to be easy in this economy, and I don't take any new tax lightly. I don't think it's ideal. I've really admired the Premier for his ability to stand by it when it was unpopular. He watched what happened to the Dion Liberals federally in the last federal election as a result of it, and some people arguably would say that that was sort of a the fatal blow that sort of put them down because Canadians weren't ready for it. He never has backtracked on his position. He knows it's the right thing to do. I believe it's the right thing to do. I've told him that. He has he's doing the right thing, and we've got to do it, and I think British Columbians are warming up to it. We've always been a little bit more progressive on the environmental front out west, and I think that we're going to lead Canada in that regard and show them that it's the right thing to do, and we can do good things with that tax money in terms of further progress on the green front.
Have you got any predictions as to what will happen on the 12th? I mean, do you think that Gordon Campbell will get reelected?
Yes, I do. Okay. I do. I think we're looking at poll numbers going much closer than we had originally seen them about 3 weeks ago. I think this typically happens in an election. Poll numbers go up, they go down. I think we're seeing a reaction to, Minister Van Dongeren, who had stepped down as Solicitor General there as a result of the speeding ticket issue. Perhaps public sentiment was rallying around that, and maybe it gave the NDP a bump. There's been a couple little hiccups on the way on both sides. The Greens, I feel, are latching on to the STV issue as their main push to hopefully create electoral success in the next election. If they're successful, they really feel that that's the winning strategy for them. And I think ultimately British Columbians, it's going to be about leadership, and I think tonight you're going to see three potential premiers, future premiers, standing in front of British Columbians. And I don't think there could be any contest. Gordon Campbell is qualified. I think he has done a fantastic job. I really think the British Columbians are, by and large, going to really look at that and go, there's things we'd like to see more of, and there's things we'd like to see improved. But ultimately, that's the right person and the right party to lead us to the next for the next 3 years.
Do you find, in your experience, that debates matter to the regular public? To you and I, who follow politics, it matters because it's sport. But, I mean, to the regular voter, do you think they look at how well someone does and that affects how they vote for them?
No, it doesn't at all. I think it matters for the Greens. I think it matters if Jane comes out and she has a good, strong showing and surprises some people. She gets some jabs in, if she's able to make a few strong statements and get some key messages put across. If Jane comes out and surprises everybody and she's a very strong debater, then it could help Greens. But ultimately, I think it has very, very little impact. I think British Columbians aren't fooled by a 60-minute conversation. I think records and performance, past performance, and of course, the platforms of the future policies themselves are what will shape the election, not 60 minutes tonight of three leaders trying to go back and forth. These issues are far more complex than, you know, quick 2 and 3 minute rebuttals within an hour.
Have the Greens got a chance of winning a seat or two in this election?
You know, I've always said that Damien Kettlewell is an extraordinary politician. I think that he is so qualified. I think that he has, he's got a lot of integrity. I think we need more politicians like Damien. I wish that he wasn't in a situation where he was up against someone like Mary McNeil, who is also in her own right an extraordinary, you know, public servant, her work in the community and what I think she's going to bring to the legislature. You've just got two dynamites. I wish that we could split them into other ridings. I think it's going to be an interesting one to watch, certainly because of the NDP situation there, where they lost their candidate over the controversial Facebook photos. But by and large, I don't think the Greens have got the organization on the ground to really deliver their messages across their ridings. You know, maybe Damien, maybe Jane might be able to do some make some impact, but ultimately I think they're going to be seen as spoilers. I don't think the Greens are quite there yet.
Have you got a position on STV?
I do, and recently it changed. It was recently changed. I had been in favor of it for a great deal of time. Certainly as the former leader of the Green Party, it was foremost on my mind. I've really looked to educate myself on it even further and try to take a look at examples. It seems on paper to be a very ideal democratic system. Since then, I've taken a much deeper look and tried to, you know, give myself a bit of null hypothesis and figure out what's the alternative and what's the no reasons. And there's some interesting reasons why we shouldn't consider it. And ultimately, I think I'm still, I'm not going to say that I've switched completely, but I'd say that I'm not as confident as I was about 3 weeks ago in terms of supporting STV, and I'm probably going to make a decision maybe about 1 week before the actual election, and I'll blog about it or tweet about my final position on it for whatever that's worth, more just to come to my own decision about it. And I know that everyone has to do that on their own and not to influence one side or the other, but it's interesting. I'm not entirely convinced it's a better system, Joe.
Now, in your travels through the community and as an observer of politics, do you find that there's a disengagement from the public over this campaign, that people just can't get jacked up about it?
I think right now it's difficult to get excited and passionate and really jacked up about an election when most British Columbians are really worried about the economic security of their jobs. They know someone who's lost their job. They're worried they're going to lose their job. They're feeling things being scaled back within their own present employment situations. Right now, everybody's doing a little bit of pulling back and resetting and focusing on themselves and their families and their community circles and the impact of this economic slowdown. I think to watch three parties battle it out for who's going to run the legislature is less of a priority than what we're really paying attention to federally in terms of what's our strategy to get out of this and how confident are we that we actually might do that. So I think that the election has probably taken a backseat to the larger economic issues and the concerns around that.
Now, we're about the same age, Chris. How do you get people engaged, people our age?
Well, for starters, you field a slate of candidates that are within our age group, our generation, Joe. I really wanted to run in this last election. I thought really hard about it, but it wasn't the right timing for me, and I was really hoping that there would be more candidates within my generational age bracket there. I was really looking to, because, you know, you see guys like, and I got to say, I even look at the NDP, they've got Spencer Herbert, and I see when I see younger candidates, I get excited because I think what the potential is there is for them to be tuned into what's really going on the ground with our generation and where it's going to have a stronger grasp on it. I see a lot of politicians latching onto Facebook or social media in a convenient way and during an election period, but the reality is you can really engage your electorate, 365 days a year through it. It doesn't need to be an election tool to try to win. It's really a communication tool. And younger candidates get that. Younger candidates know the vernacular. They know the issues. I feel that they're a little bit more exciting. I feel that they're a little bit more approachable than I think we see with some of our older candidates out there. We feel a bit disconnected. So maybe I'm biased because I'm 31 years old and I'm looking for more candidates my age, and I just don't feel like there's enough of them out there. But ultimately, I think if we can move ourselves in the direction of creating more opportunities to excite them and approach them and try to get them involved at the nomination level and take a shot at some of these candidacies, whatever party they're a part of, I think you're going to start seeing some much more exciting debates. You're going to see some much more exciting election messaging and marketing and PR. And within that, I think voters once again feel like, okay, there's the tide is changing. There's a new chapter, and not unlike what we saw in the U.S. with the Obama generation. It was just a little bit more real. It moved away from white-haired old men towards a demographic of people that maybe is more representative of what's happening in our communities.
Finally, you write speeches for a living. What did you make of Michael Ignatieff's speech yesterday at the convention?
I've tried to figure out through a couple circles who his primary speechwriter is, and I've got a couple different names, and I'm not surprised by some of them, but the underlying thing that you hear from most of the people in my space and my colleagues is that he's an eloquent speaker, and he writes a lot of his stuff himself. He's a fantastic writer, and he is a gifted speaker, and I think that what's going to happen federally is you are going to see a matchup in the next election of two academic, intellectual, articulate candidates, and I think I think Canada is in a really, really good position when you have someone of the intellect and the mental capacity of economics, such as our Prime Minister, going up against now our Leader of the Opposition, Michael Ignatieff, who I think is very equal to it. It's really good for Canada. A contest like that is fantastic, and I got to tell you, I really admire a lot of the work that comes out of his communications department from Michael Ignatieff. He's definitely a much stronger speaker when compared to Dion. There's no question about that.
Christopher, it's good to talk to you again. I hope all is well with your family.
Yeah, you too, and I appreciate the call, Joe, and I'll be anxious for your thoughts about this debate when it's done, too. So let me know what you think, and I think you've got a great site. I think you're doing great work. You ask the good questions, and the flip side of that is, we could try to come up with a more exciting, base of candidates, or we can wonder about, are people engaged or not in the process, but ultimately the media really shapes that, and I think that you do a very good job of that. I think that the stuff that you're doing and some of the things I'm seeing now on Now Public and the TIE and, across different partisan lines, there's some great media and online media in particular that's emerging, and you're playing with some great social media technology to deliver it, and I think that you will play a really important part in doing that and keeping people excited in this election and the next one. So keep asking the good questions and reach out to a whole range of unique perspectives. I think you do a wonderful job of it, and I appreciate you having me on.
You're very welcome, and thank you. We'll read the blog, the cbennettblog.blogspot.com. Former leader of the BC Green Party, Christopher Bennett, on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.